You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Connect Community. So glad you were able to join us this morning. I'm here on the east side of Stamford. You can see the skyline. It's a bit windy today. Preaching outside, you have to calculate for those weather conditions. But we're so glad that we're able to come to you this weekend via video. I hope your week has been great. As you know, we are in our 21 days of prayer. Today is day 8. And if you haven't joined yet, you have an opportunity to do so. Let's just go together in this last 14 days of prayer. Each day, we're releasing a focus for you through our app. All you need to do is turn on the special events notification on your app, and then you will get those every morning. Also, if you follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, you will get those too. Let's get on with the message. We're in a series titled, Make Some Noise. And the heart of this series really is to encourage you to engage your prayer life, to connect to God through prayer. Now, prayer, as we saw last week, is a way back to God. It's more than making a wish. It's more than sending words into space. It's a way to connect to God. It's a way toward redemption. It's a way toward forgiveness, restoration. And if you lead a life of consistent prayer, you know that. You've experienced that. So today I want to take the next step in this series with a message titled, How to Pray Powerful Prayers. I want to take you through a few steps, but before we get there, let me start with this picture, because for many people, prayer is a religious practice, a tool, something they use to center the spirit. It's also a way to reach out to the transcendent. But I wonder if that mentality, if that approach to prayer diminishes the power of prayer and causes people to live a life of prayer that is not all that prayer was meant to be. See, prayer is not just venting. Prayer is not just purging. Even though psychologically, if you engage in prayer that way, you will experience some relief, mental relief, anxiety relief, worry relief. You might feel lighter because you're getting rid of some of those thoughts and just speaking them out. And you might think that that's a sophisticated way for self-care, a sophisticated way to get rid of anxiety, get rid of some of your worries and find inner peace. You could give yourself a tap on the back and say, I'm doing good. I'm taking care of myself. See, it's easy to make prayer cool. Because somebody can come up to you and say, hey, you talk to the man in the sky? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're talking to the clouds? Who are you talking to? And you can say, no, this is not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I purge. I recalibrate. I recalibrate my inner person. And I invest into my spiritual intelligence. Now, that sounds cool, right? If I say, I don't talk to a man in the sky, I recalibrate and I invest into my spiritual intelligence, whatever that might be, it sounds cool. Now, I'm not saying that that's inaccurate, because do you purge during prayer? Yes, you do. Of course you do. For 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxieties on Him, all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Do you recalibrate? Of course you recalibrate. Scripture says that in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Do you develop a spiritual intelligence? I don't know what that is. I just came up with that. I'm hoping that catches on. I hope it sticks. But yes, your spirit develops. There's spiritual maturity that develops. Watch and pray, Jesus said, that you may not fall and enter into temptation. In other words, prayer causes you to be aware, to be watchful, and to learn the things that might tempt you, and not only learn about them, but resist them and not fall into temptation. Prayer does that. So it's not a misrepresentation of prayer to say that prayer is a great tool for purging, recalibrating, and elevating your spiritual life. But I want to lead you today beyond this popular view of prayer. I want to help you understand how to have a prayer life that is powerful and effectual to take you to the next level. See, prayer, I don't believe this, and that's what I'm hoping to lead you today. I don't believe prayer is meant to exist within a religious box. It's not meant to remain in a religious box, a religious corner of your life, the religious privacy of your practices. If you learn to pray powerful prayers, if you want to reignite your prayer life, you got to go beyond whatever practice you have going on right now, and you got to engage a new level of prayer, a new understanding of prayer. See, you got to go from me prayers to God prayers. Me prayers are prayers that say, God, would you help me? Would you lift me up? God, would you help this situation, my financial situation, my health, my relationships, my marriage, my problems? God, I'm presenting them to you. It's not wrong. See, God wants us to come to Him. It's not wrong to do that. But if you want to pray powerful prayers, you got to go beyond that and start praying some God prayers. That's when you tap into the heart of God, into His will for your life, into His will for your community, into His will for His church, into His will for Stamford, for Darien, for Greenwich, for Norwalk, for Fairfield County, for Westchester County, for New York City, His will for our world. Those are God prayers. Here's a passage that we quote a lot here at Connect Community, and I want to start with this passage. James 5:16, this is what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, the first thing you need to know is this. It's God's desire that you pray powerful prayers. He wants us all to pray powerful prayers. Now, last week I referred to a passage in Scripture in Matthew where Jesus asked His disciples to pray with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they couldn't even pray for 1 hour. They couldn't pray for an hour. See, Jesus was dedicated to prayer. He tried to get His disciples to understand the value of prayer, but they were set in their ways. They thought Jesus got this. They actually thought Jesus was going to do it all Himself, that Jesus was going to handle all the problems Himself. Now, don't miss this, because this is a centerpiece of this message and a centerpiece of where Jesus wants to take our prayer life. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says this. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, they had a picture of what Jesus was supposed to do. They were trained in that picture. They were informed in that picture. And that picture prevented their prayer life. It hindered their prayer life, because they thought the outer change was going to happen by Jesus, that He alone was going to take care of the problems. They thought, we are in it for the ride, and Jesus is going to take care of it all. See, some of us, we have a kingdom of our own that needs restoration. We have areas of our own lives that we're hoping to be restored and transformed, just like Jesus' disciples. And we come to Jesus and we say, here it is, Jesus. Jesus, do it all. We know you can do it. We know you can resolve it. Just do it all, Jesus. It's all in your hands. And you might even think about your faith walk. You can come to me and say, JD, it didn't work. I tried, it didn't work. I went to church for 2 months. It didn't work. I went to Connect Group 3 times. It didn't work. You could even say, it didn't work. I've been coming to church for 2 years. It didn't work. I've been serving in the team. I've been going to Connect Groups. It didn't work. Now, let me tell you. Your pastor loves you, but you need to know this. If you are not praying, you haven't even started. If you're not praying, your journey has not even begun. Here's the problem we have. We have a picture in our minds of what God is supposed to do, what Jesus is supposed to do, just like the disciples did. Because they were shackled by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had a yoke on their neck. And they thought, Jesus is going to come and be our leader and he's going to rescue us. He's going to change it all. He's going to do it himself. It's not for you to know the seasons. The Father has fixed, Jesus said. In other words, judgment belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. As it pertains to you, though, you are not left alone. You are not left helpless. You have a helper. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's the moment they begin to pray. When Jesus said, listen, you have a part to play in this, and you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses, and I'm going to use you. I'm not going to be the big general, the big king. I'm going to use you to change the world. That's when they began to pray. And I don't know what you're facing right now, but this applies to you. This applies to your life. Because you might be thinking, God, when are you going to restore my finances? God, when are you going to restore my marriage? God, when are you going to restore my relationships? God, when are you going to defeat my enemies? God, when is this season going to end? God, when is this problem going to go away? It's not for you to know the times of God's justice. But you, like I said, are not empty-handed. You are not powerless. There is a power that is available to you. It's not political power. It's not financial power. It's not scientific power. It's not black power. It's not white power. It's not brown power. It's not Asian power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the way to engage that power is through prayer. Now, let me give you a picture that we find in the scriptures of how this worked for the early church and how this can work for you and I. Now, they were living in extreme circumstances, right? It's circumstances that we can only imagine. And chapter 12 of the book of Acts tells us that Herod the king was persecuting the church. Now, so just so you understand the context, there was a Roman emperor that was Caesar. And the Roman emperor had 4 kings, and each king ruled over a region of the kingdom of, or the empire, the Roman Empire. And Herod was the king of Judea. So he was the king over the area where the Israelites were, where Jesus was. And Herod got his hands on James, one of Jesus' disciples, John's brother. And he killed James by the sword. And when he saw that the Jews were happy with that, that they responded well, he determined himself to persecute the Christians. He began to persecute the Christians. So Herod arrested Peter during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover. He waited until the end of the feast to kill him. He was determined to kill him, but he had to wait. It was a political move. Here's what Scripture says, Acts chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. There was Peter, 16 soldiers guarding him, two of them chained to him in the cell. And by the way, Peter was naked, stripped of his clothing. I don't know if you've ever felt like you were in a situation like that, like you were cursed, you had such bad luck, that you were surrounded by enemies, exposed, stripped of your resources and helpless. This was an extreme situation Peter was in. Completely alone. All because he was a follower of Jesus. All because he was telling the stories of what he had seen and what he had heard from Jesus. Even though he was heavily guarded, the Church of Jesus Christ did not count on their own strength. They did not plan an extraction. What they did, they got on their knees and they prayed. They invoked the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that they prayed earnestly. What does that mean? They were making some noise. They began to make some noise on behalf of Peter. They began to cry out to God on behalf of Peter. They began to declare that Peter was going to be released. And this is what happened. When Herod was about to kill Peter, on that very night, Peter was asleep and he was awakened by an angel of God. It was so surreal, so supernatural. Peter thought he was having a vision. He thought he was in a trance. When the angel woke him up, the chains fell off his hands, fell off his feet. And the angel told him to get dressed. And so they started walking. And this is what the scripture says. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. Just like when you go to CVS and you walk and the door opens. You thought that automatic doors were a 21st century invention. It's right here. It's in the scriptures. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he finally woke up, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." What an amazing picture of praying powerful prayers. What an incredible story that the scripture tells us of the power of the Holy Spirit when the church practices earnest prayer. So I'm going to give you three simple steps. These are going to be quick, and this is when you take notes on how to pray powerful prayers, how to have a life of powerful prayers. First step, very simple. Seek the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said this, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is that part of God that envelops you, that embraces you. The Holy Spirit is that part of God that guides you. The Holy Spirit is with you at all times. The Holy Spirit moves within you. He directs you. He is God with you. And since the day of Pentecost, since that day in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit has come with us, has been with us. So call upon Him. Seek Him. Invite Him into your life. Every single day say, "Jesus, baptize me. Jesus, fill me up with your Spirit. Jesus, bring your Spirit into my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Holy Spirit, come into my house. Holy Spirit, come into my marriage. Holy Spirit, come into my life and bless my children and bless my work and give me revelation and guide me." Every single day, seek the Holy Spirit. Number two, live righteously. Remember the first passage we read? It says this, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power." as it is working. Now, there's two sides of righteousness here. But first thing I need to mention is this. This is not self-righteousness. This is not that kind of righteousness when you think you're better than somebody else. You think you're more spiritual than somebody else. You get in your spiritual high heels and you think that because you prayed 2 hours today, you can just talk somebody down, or because you know some scriptures, you can. I don't know if you've met one of those people. Probably not at Connect Community. But that's not what this is. That's total nonsense. This is when your desire is to become more like Christ. This is when your disposition is to be Christ-like, is to lay down your life, lay down your sinful nature, lay down the parts of yourself, your soul, your willpower, and surrender them to the will of God. Openly seeking, openly desiring God's will for your life. See, when you live like that, Christ makes you righteous. When you live like that, your shortcomings are overcome by the blood of the cross. When you live like that, every single time you fall short, Jesus forgives you and He fulfills what you need. He completely envelops your life and He makes you righteous. Now, the other side of being righteous is your awareness of your sinful nature, your awareness of actively keeping it in check and not hiding it, which means to confess your sin. That scripture tells us, right? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, here's the thing about confessing your sins. It's not about walking to a stranger and tell him your secrets. It's not even about coming and telling your secrets to me. I don't want to know. It's about not hiding. It's about not living a life that is secret, that you're living in shame, that you're afraid that people are going to judge you. It's about developing a kind of relationship with somebody who's following Christ along with you, where you say, hey, I need you to keep me accountable. Hey, there's this part of my life that I really struggle with. There's this part of my life that I really need somebody else to walk along with. I know I can build some strength. I know that I can develop this part of my life, but I need to bring it to light. It can't stay hidden. And here's my shameless plug for Connect Groups. If you're new to this community, this is your first time watching, if you've been with us during this quarantine and you've never been together with us in person, Connect Groups is where you get to meet people. And hopefully those relationships will grow to the point where you can be brothers and sisters in Christ together, and you can share with a brother, you can share with a sister what you might be going through. And you can grow in that by bringing your shortcomings to light. And in it, there's forgiveness. In it, there's healing. In it, you will walk in righteousness. The third step, very simply, is to pray. You have to actually do it. It's not just about thinking about it or knowing it. It's about doing it. You can intend to pray, but I'm telling you, unless you activate it, you're never going to experience the life that comes with praying powerful prayers. And I'm not talking about like whispering your wishes between pouring your coffee and mixing the sugar. If you put sugar in your coffee, shouldn't. Felipe is judging you right now. You have to actually do it. Now, some of you, I love you, but you know this. You're great at complaining. You're great at finding the issues in your life. You're great at demanding from people. You're great at pointing out what's wrong about you, what's wrong about your spouse, what's wrong about your friends, what's wrong about the people around you. You're great at that, but you never pray about it. You never bring it to God. You never come to God as if He has the power to change it. As if He has the power to come into that situation and renew it and transform it. and make it better. Sometimes you blame, you cry, and you might even want the right thing. But why aren't you giving it to God? Why aren't you giving it to God? Why aren't you coming to your Heavenly Father and asking Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to fill you with His presence? See, prayer must be something you dedicate yourself to. Last week I taught you the word kara, which means to cry out to God, to call unto God with a voice of triumph. Today, I want to encourage you with another Hebrew word that also means prayer in the Old Testament. It's the word palal. And the word palal means to intervene. It means to intercede. It means to interpose. It means to come into a situation with the will of God versus the will of man, the will of the enemy. And you bring God's will into whatever circumstance, whatever situation you're facing. It means to declare God's will. It means to intervene. See, this is when prayer goes beyond self-care. This is when prayer goes beyond your mental health. This is when prayer goes beyond purging or recalibrating or spiritual intelligence. This is when you engage heaven. This is when you call out God's reality, a greater reality into your life. This is when you elevate your life and you get stronger. This is the your kingdom come, your will be done part of the Lord's Prayer. And I believe that if you practice this, if every day you invite your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit into your life, you seek the Holy Spirit, if every day you seek to live righteously in God's presence and you pray wholeheartedly, you pray with an open heart, inviting God into your life, I believe and I declare that you will see days where you will pray powerful prayers and you will see God's moving in your life like never before. Do you receive it? I know you do. I believe you do. Listen, if you're new to this walk and you've been trying, but you haven't really connected to God, or maybe you've grown cold toward God and God has become distant, I want to invite you to reconnect. Now, this is a prayer for people who have never prayed a prayer of salvation. Or maybe you prayed a long time ago and God is no longer with you. You feel distant and apart from God. Let me invite you to reconnect to God today. What a great opportunity to become a member, to become part of the family of God. Would you pray with me, with your hand in your heart, in every room, in every space? If you can close your eyes, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and I make you my Savior. I leave my past behind, and I invite you into my life for a brighter future. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I give you my hopes. I give you my dreams. I give you my everything. Help me pray powerful prayers. Help me invite the Holy Spirit into my life every day. And help me to live righteously. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for life. Thank you for forgiveness. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior from this day forward. Amen. Listen, with a simple prayer, we believe you got born again. Connect. Pray every single day. Just like that. Just like you're talking to a friend, talk to God. Invite Him into your life. Read your Bible every single day. If you don't have a Bible, we'd gladly give one to you. Start with the Gospels if you've never read your Bible. The Gospel of John is a great place to start. And come back as often as you can. Last week, we just had a midweek service followed by connect groups. We don't have one this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we will have connect groups. Connect. Join us as often as you can. We'd love to see you soon. God bless you.